Welcome, everybody, and thank you for listening to a new episode of Fit for the Future, your bite-sized learning podcast from Archipel Academy. We will take a deep dive in today's most thought-provoking HR and L&D topics, learn how to overcome today's biggest challenges in the field to stay relevant now and in the future. My name is Omar Zakaria Fouab, founder and CEO of Archipel Academy, and I'm your host. In today's episode, we will talk about the role of mental well-being in future-proofing organizations. We'll discuss today's topic with my guest, Marco Karman from Be More You. Welcome, Marco.
Thank you so much, Omar.
For the listeners at home, could you please introduce yourself a little bit? Who is Marco, and afterwards, who is Be More You?
Well, as you said, I'm Marco Karman. I'm the founder and owner of Be More You, which I founded in 2010.
Okay.
By education, I'm a chemical engineer, so I drifted a bit of my original training.
Yeah.
And this company is founded to contribute to a better world.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, many companies around the world are doing that. And the way we distinguish ourselves from other companies in this area is that we help people to accelerate the development of their personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this by measuring and training brain activity.
Oh, and by sounds interesting.
Yeah, and by doing so, we make the whole learning process objective and very fast so that people can achieve lasting results.
And could you elaborate a little bit how you do that with tracking brain activity?
Well, it's as simple as it sounds.
Yeah.
We stick sensors to people's head and measure brain activity. And measuring activity can really show where people's bottlenecks are in their brain activity, which are the root cause for the problems they occur in their everyday life.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah. So it's there's much to do about stress and well-being.
Yeah.
That's the starting point. But at the end of the day, it's all about, well, bringing your unique contribution to the world, because I believe very strongly from the tip of my toes that we all have a unique view to what's happening in the world, and we all have unique talents which can contribute something special.
Yeah.
And stress is often limiting people to really live their life and make their contribution.
And we have a very similar vision that we're very personalized in our daily lives, whether it's how we eat, how we travel, what we watch on TV, but it should also reflect in how we learn. It shouldn't fit one size fits all. But I think it's a one-on-one training program.
Yeah, they're all individual one-on-one, but we've also expanded our approach towards developing teams and organizations. Yeah. But we always start with the individual assessment and development of a person.
Yeah.
And by doing so, we can really elevate the way people communicate and operate together.
Yeah.
In a much more open-minded way, because that's what we help people to achieve.
Yeah. Sounds fascinating. So, Marco, today we will talk about mental well-being.
Yep.
Before I deep dive into a few questions I have, what is mental well-being for you, Marco? Because obviously it's a container word. So what would it mean for you?
I would say that it's energy management to enable you to deal with the surprises lives bring you, both the things which you want to achieve, so the goals you want to achieve in life, but also the things which happen to you, which you don't necessarily want, but the way you have to deal with.
How you operate with things outside of your comfort zone or are things that are happening into your world, and how do you adapt to it?
So exactly.
Adaptability.
Yeah.
So Be More You focuses on mental well-being, as you mentioned. Why do you think mental well-being is becoming such an important topic? Because obviously it's all around the world, whether it's LinkedIn or the news or whatever, everybody's talking about mental well-being and vitality. And why is it so important?
Well, I don't think and agree that it's becoming, because I think it is, and it has been for a very long time, but we didn't realize so much.
Yeah,
Daniel Goleman coined emotional intelligence with his worldwide bestseller in 1997, I think.
Yeah,
and around 10 years ago, I saw an announcement on LinkedIn where he announced his workshop, Chemistry of Connection.
Chemistry of Connection, yeah.
And, well, as I just mentioned before we started, I'm a chemical engineer by training, so I thought, oh my God, I want to go there. And then I looked carefully and I saw that this workshop was in New York from Friday evening to Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, being an entrepreneur, I think, is this a wise investment to go? And I initially put it aside. But I've also learned in the course of my life that these things don't happen for nothing. It's for a reason.
Yeah.
So I decided to jump on a plane to attend this workshop. And it was a unique experience and also an epiphany for me, because it was a group of about 60 people. Most of them were Americans, and there were a few Europeans, of which I was one. And I remember standing face to face, like we are sitting with Daniel Goleman, where he explained to me that the amygdala hijack, that's when your stress system takes over, according to him, is the root cause for nearly all personal and interpersonal trouble in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just to elaborate on that, it basically means that when I'm stressed and I respond in a stressed manner to you, there's a good chance that you also get stressed. And by doing so, stress accelerates from an individual to two, to a team, to a company, to a country, to the world.
Yeah.
Leading to the big problems you see every day in the media. And when he said that, well, it felt like an epiphany for me, because what we are doing is helping people to understand and learn the antidote and be able to look with an open view and open mind to what's happening in your world and focus on the opportunities.
Yeah.
And I think that this stress, to answer your question, that has been following us as long as we are a human being, of course. But because of all the things which are happening in the outside world, there's just much and much more pressure on individuals and as a result on teams and companies. And that's why we see it now so exposed everywhere around us.
Yeah. And do you think that, because you say it's a topic that's been around for a while and maybe it's accelerating maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that comes from new generations entering the workforce? Do you think, what are some of the outside factors that contribute to making it a bigger factor now?
First of all, it's the VUCA world, that things are changing so fast, which we have to deal with and we're confronted with all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that's the young generation, because if you look at burnout, I think it's around 90% of the people deal with burnout signals nowadays in the Netherlands. And the average age has gone down from 50 to 32. And it's particularly the young generation which feel a lot of stress and burnout-related problems. That's because the young generation is continuously connected to the outside world. So it's really difficult to take the moment for themselves and switch off, basically.
Would you say that the outside external or the external factors for stress that could lead to stress are getting more frequent for a generation that is more connected to the internet?
Yeah, because there's permanent input.
Mm-hmm.
And often the signals you get in are triggers for your stress system.
Yeah. And we actually had a guest and one of our early podcasts, and they focus on focus,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that you are focused.
Mm-hmm.
And they did some research on it, and they found that nowadays we only have like 40 minutes a day where we're focused, hyper-focused on one thing. Otherwise, you're looking at your iPad, you're looking at your phone, you're looking outside, somebody comes in or you speak to somebody at the coffee machine. It was an explosion for me, like, wow, that's so little, like 24 hours a day, and you're only focused 40 minutes a day. So,
yeah, but I think we all recognize it, don't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Because and, it's really hard to, and you have to give it your best.
And for me, it's even worse, because I'm like, I try to focus on something, and then I see something going right. Like, look, nice car.
Yeah.
I'm so easily distracted. So for me, it's even more. So Marco, what are some of the biggest challenges? Because obviously organizations want to work, do a lot of these interventions to make sure that well-being is taken care of within an organization. But what are some of the biggest challenges that organizations face today when it comes to supporting mental well-being?
Yeah, I think there are three main challenges. First of all, is the external pressure increases the likelihood of stress and reducing well-being. And secondly, it's a root cause and a fundamental flaw we're all walking around with as a human being. That's this outdated stress system, which continuously fires off while there's no reason. And thirdly, it's not visible, but it's I think you can feel and sense it, that it's contagious, as I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
So particularly nowadays, when there is so much pressure also on leadership, when leaders get stressed, and that also drips down into the organization. And I think those are the three main things make it a fundamental problem nowadays.
I recognize the last one, by the way. Just looking at myself, I'm very open in the things that I do well and the things that I have to work on. And early in my career, there was somebody that came up to me and he said, you know, you have the worst poker face in the world. He says, when you come into the office and you feel well, you can see it on your face and then everybody's happy. But when you have a challenge or bad news or whatever, it's like thunder on your face and it affects everybody around you.
Exactly.
And I wasn't aware of it because I was a leader and I'm still a leader, but I was a leader and I wasn't aware that how I expressed myself was such an impact on the people around me.
Then in your particular case, people were lucky that you had a bad poker face. So
yeah.
At least they could see mm-hmm. what was going on. But I'm sure and I'm convinced that even when you had a perfect poker face, the same thing would happen and people wouldn't realize what the cause was.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. I mean, we talk here verbally and we see some body language, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of energy, which basically determines the conversation.
Yeah. It's something that you express without you knowing that.
Exactly, yeah.
And the second thing that you said, Marco, was the outdated stress system that we have. I was curious what you mean. Like, what do you mean by outdated stress system?
Well, we all know that the stress system is here to help you survive.
Mm-hmm.
And for millions of years, that has been very functional.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, you and I and everybody in the world develops itself by learning, by doing, and by falling and getting up again.
Yeah.
And we particularly learn from the mistakes we make because they challenge us to do something differently. And in this process, we on one hand learn all kind of practical things like walking, riding a bike,
mm-hmm.
eating with a fork and knife. But in the same process, we also develop our talents and qualities. And that is the upside of the natural learning process. The problem and the challenge is that everybody also experiences a lot of falling experiences because you need to do so in order to develop yourself. And from all these falling experiences, something is stored in your stress system, triggers.
Yeah.
And as a result, you basically develop yourself twice, consciously.
Yeah.
And as a subconscious version of yourself who's continuously watching.
In the background.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the moment something happens in your life when your subconscious version thinks, oh my God, this happened before and it led to an unpleasant situation.
That's when you get stressed.
It kicks in and then you lose the control of your life.
Yeah.
Because your subconscious version of you takes over.
I do recognize this. I don't think I've ever was aware, but I do recognize it. That sometimes you see some things around you, whether it's in a meeting or something in personal life, and you get this feeling in your gut like what is coming because you're worried.
Yeah.
Like your spider senses.
Exactly. Yeah. And in that sense, it's something which has an impact on all of us. Because everybody has developed him or herself in this way. There is no other way. And you need to go through these falling experiences to develop yourself. So they are the learning accelerator, if you want. But at the same time, in a later phase in your life, they become your internal brake.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically mean that you sort of put yourself in all kind of funny positions where you're locked in to all experiences you had in the past without you even knowing. I mean, when you're aware, it's already in the next level, but often people don't know.
Yeah. And I can imagine this, it's like a puzzle piece is falling into its play for me because I can imagine that it becomes more and more because 1,000 years ago, you could learn a skill and you could benefit from it maybe a long time in your life.
Yeah.
And the shelf life of a skill right now is on average 3 to 6 months. So we have to go through these loops more often.
Yeah.
So that stresses you even more because stress is maybe if you have it once a month, but if you have it weekly or daily, then it's different.
Yeah. And particularly these loops you just mentioned, they become harder when you get older.
Yeah.
Because of all the life experience you've gained so far and stored in your system.
Wow. And Marco, how do you see stress and overwhelming factors affecting organizational effectiveness? So these things that are happening, what are the effects of it within these organizations?
Well, I think if you look at stress and overwhelm affect organizational well-being, I looked at the pyramid of Lencioni, of the 5 levels of teamwork, where the top is results, accountability, commitment, conflict, and trust.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get stressed, basically the trust is evaporating.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot give trust or have trust when you're stressed. Then basically it cuts away the fundamental layer of this pyramid of cooperation. And as soon as that happens, it becomes really hard to cooperate in a pleasant and effective manner.
And obviously you founded at more Be More You because you want to better the world, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a vision that I share. And you use the brain rooting. Mm-hmm. mechanism to help individuals find clarity and reduce mental unrest. How does this method contribute to the overall workplace well-being?
Well, maybe can I just elaborate on the previous question?
Yeah, sure.
When we talked about can affect the way people cooperate, we supported the team in their development,
mm-hmm.
and they were in a situation where there was a lot of mistrust and judging when they started. And after they'd gone through the individual program themselves with us, they went through a couple of sessions with a coach to help them to bring that what they learned individually into the group dynamics. And where before there was mistrust and judging, they turned it into trust and address concerns. So as soon as people got stressed or felt that something was not right, rather than saying, well, what are you doing? This doesn't contribute. They thought, well, what can we learn from your concern to improve the decision we're going to make?
Mm-hmm.
And that made an enormous impact on the effectivity and also the synergy and the way they cooperated in a big way.
And that helped them, obviously, if I'm filling in, deal with their stress or moments of stress to judge a situation more
open-minded.
Open-minded.
Yeah.
Obviously, that reduces the risk of being stressful in those situations.
Yeah. And then coming to your next question.
Yes.
The way we contribute to overall workplace well-being. First of all, we look really to the underlying mechanism of both stress and well-being, and that's your energy management. So we help people to be able to focus their energy, particularly on those things in life and in their work, where they can really have a difference, make a difference, and have influence. And the second thing where we make a difference is that we use objective data by measuring and training brain activity. And this pinpoints immediately the bottlenecks and rooms for growth. And we can accelerate growth as a result of that. And we often have people who come to us, and many of them have done a lot of things prior to joining our programs. And after the first measurement, we explain what we've seen. And they say, my God, how is it possible that you're able to see this within 45 minutes on the thing which I've been dealing with and struggling with so long already? It also happens that the root cause for someone's problem is totally different than they originally thought.
So for
example, we had an entrepreneur with us about a year ago, and he says, well, I'm not feeling very well because I'm so stressed and that's really hindering me. And when we measured, we saw that his stress level was normal. But the thing which he did do is that he basically zapped away from the here and now. So he wasn't in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hindering him and causing him all kind of troubles. But he didn't realize that this was the root cause. So once we understood what the root cause was, it was a lot easier for him to find a solution.
Yeah. As we say in Dutch, onbewust, onbekwaam.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The last three points is that we enable people to experience and experiment to respond more open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth is that we help them to learn to recover when stress kicks in. So to keep their mind open again. And the last one, and that's a bonus, but a very important one, is that once you are aware about your own stress system and what it does to your well-being and how you feel in your skin and things like that, it immediately gives you an extra layer and view on the rest of the world. So people become more compassionate.
Yeah.
Because you realize that you, just like me and all the other people, are struggling with the same problem. And when things don't work out, you can be sure that this is the core reason, the root cause.
Wow. Marco, maybe share some best practices that HR and L&D professionals can implement to support employee mental well-being.
Well, I think that the most important thing I would suggest is that it's so important that this well-being within a company is something which is really supported and carried by the senior leadership. Because there is where it all starts. And you just gave an example of your own life. I'm not sure what is an expression in English, but the fish always stinks from the head.
Yeah.
So the moment when leadership is not really aligned in themselves and make sure that they do three things. First of all, feel well in their skin. Secondly, make sure that their relationships and cooperation is in balance. And thirdly, that they really put their energy where they can make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that dripples down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that in positive way and also negative way when the top of the company determines how the culture and the energy is in a company.
Yeah.
So I think my biggest suggestion was make sure that these programs are not for the, well, not only for the, of course, also for the workforce, but particularly that it's really supported and they are a leading example in the top.
Yeah, so it should be a strategic element within the corporate strategy.
Yeah, yeah, and also not so much as a nice to have, but really a need to have.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't work well, yeah, it has an enormous impact on both individual well-being, but also on the performance of the company as a whole.
Obviously. Yeah, it translates to the performance of individuals, teams.
Exactly.
And of course, the company as well. Yeah. Hey, and Marco, are there any broader trends you're seeing in HR and L&D space regarding mental health?
I think the trend I see, or I hope to see, is that the fragmentation, if you want, in groups. I mean, we had feminism quite some years ago. Now there's a lot about psychological safety and diversity and inclusion.
Yeah.
That this trend will continue so far that at the end of the day, it's all about the individual being able to be the best version of him or herself.
Yeah.
So that's what I hope, that this is the beginning of a trend in that direction.
Yeah.
That we all can be who we are and who we are meant to be, and with our unique view can bring our unique contribution to what's at stake.
Yeah. And obviously that's a good thing for individuals, of course, because, and as I said already, we have that vision as well, because you're not one of a thousand and one size doesn't fit well. But obviously that's a strain on organizations to make sure that they facilitate it in a way that no one is left behind, because when it comes to individualism, it means that if you're figuring out a corporate or a company vision or mission or values, what do the values become when it's like a thousand individuals within the company? So obviously it's a strain as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think, because if you try to decide everything with everybody, then it becomes een Poolse landdag, to put in some Dutch.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not workable then, but I think that, again, leadership have to decide, well, this is what our core values are and our mission. And people, of course, then have to decide if that's the company they fit in.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a more workable way than trying to...
To manage a vision together with 1,000 people.
Exactly, yeah. Because then it gets watered down, basically.
Yeah. Marco, if you could give one piece of advice to HR leaders aiming to future-proof their organizations through mental well-being, what would it be?
Yeah, I think I said it before, but for me, the key thing is to make sure that it's embraced by senior leadership and make sure that senior leadership sees it as a key aspect of running their business rather than as something nice to have, and understand and feel that by addressing and sorting this out, everything else becomes a lot more easy and enjoyable and effective.
I do see a change in that compared to like 10 years ago, 15 years ago when I visited companies, then it was more like afterthought, like HR wasn't even in the board, wasn't in the executive team, and HR was like a cost center.
Yeah.
And trainings were more like magic pills, just send somebody to a training and hope that he or she comes back magically changed. I'm seeing a change in the last few years where HR people are more included in boards and executive teams, and it's becoming more and more a strategy element. It is a facilitator of the strategy of a company and integrated within the strategy instead of just being an afterthought. So I think that's a positive change.
Yeah, rightly so. And particularly, of course, now with the reducing population of the workforce, it becomes even more important for companies to really be aware and deal with requirements or the well-being of people in their workforce.
Yeah. And the new generation doesn't even make it easier, because not even my generation, but earlier generations, there was a sense of loyalty that you could work for 30 or 50 years. Nowadays, I'm seeing it in my company as well. If somebody doesn't like it from the new generation, they're gone within a year. It's like, I can work somebody else somewhere else. Yeah, Why do I have to work here?
Yeah. So.
Marco, it's time for our regular column, Brainwave. In this column, our guests are given the opportunity to pick a card that features either the dilemma, so it's a dilemma about a topic, the innovation, so pointing out a new trend or innovation that you see, or bullshit bingo. Name a word, theme, or topic that is much talked about, but which is overrated or even downright nonsense. So, Marco, grab a card.
I can just
choose. Pick whatever you want. Which one is it?
Innovation.
Innovation. So I'll tell you, what are your thoughts on using AI-powered platforms to provide personalized mental health support in the workplace? Because these platforms are becoming more and more popular. So I was just wondering what your idea or your thoughts on.
Interesting question.
You can be quite frank, honestly. Yeah?
Well, I was watching an innovation on work masterclass on AI before I came here.
Yeah.
So it's undoubtedly so that AI will make a major impact on how we work. And I'm sure that it also can make a major impact on well-being. How it exactly it looks like, I don't know. But I think important there is making sure that it's really valid. Because within AI, there of course, also kind of things happening where you think, is this really the real situation? So I think this is important. And it will be a huge benefit if systems arise which make it easier for people to work on and support their well-being.
Because I see a lot of these applications which are like mental well-being coaches, which you download on your phone and it helps you manage stress. But it all seems like a gimmick still in the phase that it is right now, and doesn't look like it's scientifically checked or whatever. So, but I think the innovation is moving faster and faster. So. We will come to a phase where it's beneficial to the
definitely.
Company. Marco, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. I'm actually impressed, and I'm definitely going to look you up just because I was very intrigued by the whole idea of using brainwaves to see what the mental blocks are for people. So thank you for that, and obviously for giving our listeners an insight. I wish you all the best for the future. And would you like to hear more inspiring stories and stay informed about the latest trends in learning and development? Then listen to the other episodes of Fit for the Future, a podcast series by Archipel Academy. Listening and subscribing is free via our favorite podcast app. Thank you for listening to our podcast, and bye-bye.